The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You're tuned into Wednesday's edition of the podcast. We're going to preview four for you, as well as catch up on some of the latest news. Sam Norris here on the podcast with you, and joining me on Wednesday's preview is Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I'm not at all bad, Sam.
Good, good stuff. The flat action bounced back to life at the weekend. We had the Lincoln at Doncaster and the Dubai World Cup, of course. Any eye-catching performances for you?
Chate was very impressive in winning the Spring Mile. More's the pity, because I was very sweet in Buxday for that, who finished a very good second. But Chate, who'd been tried over hurdles, and although he'd won over hurdles, he'd been disappointing his last couple of starts, but had a wind operation, showed that he doesn't need very soft ground, which looked to be the case with him last season. So now that he's proven himself on good ground and showed a sharp turn of foot to win that under Fergus Sweeney, he might go on to better things still. And Gabriel was impressive in the Lincoln. He's a horse who had Group 1 form in his younger days, so there's every chance that he'll get back on the right track after that and should be up to winning at least enlisted company this season.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, it was a good start to the flat season, and we'll look forward to that as it continues. But back to the jumps, we're just 10, 11 days away from the Grand National, Rory. Looking forward to it?
It's going to be... A Grand National to remember this year, certainly the build-up to it, particularly with Tony McCoy looking to go out in a high by riding Shut the Front Door. He's a horse who might have been good enough to go close in a Gold Cup. Certainly that's the impression I've got from the stable about him. And he was impressive winning the Irish National last year. He's always been high class, and it seems they've deliberately aimed him at the National rather than be tempted by the Gold Cup, because it would mean an awful lot for Jonjo O'Neill, JP McManus, and Tony McCoy to team up for one last big win. So that's been set up. Yeah. Whether it comes off is another matter altogether. But if you think he's bad value at 8-1 at the moment, he's going to be an awful lot shorter in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll just touch on that. Just how short could he go off? Obviously, we saw Red Rum go off at 7-2 some years ago. Does 4-1 sound reasonable?
I personally think he'd be bigger than that. I think he's more likely to be a 6-1 short on the day. He will be well backed, but this is not like the old Nationals where you could only give 10 horses a chance.
Yeah.
You've got 30-odd horses with a genuine chance of winning the race, and several horses who are well in according to the handicapper. The likes of Rocky Creek, who won the Bepright Chase at Kempton, the Drew's nephew, who bolted up at the Cheltenham Festival. Saul, who's been transformed by a move to David Pipe this season. Those are horses who are all ahead of their mark. And Shut the Front Door, not been seen since November. So I think a few people will want to take him on. And I don't think he'd be going off as short as Red Rum. Bear in mind, when Red Rum won his third Grand National, what price was he? Either 9-1 or 11-1.
Yes.
So, you know, that's, again, he would have been a hugely popular horse for the public then, but that still didn't mean he went off at silly prices. So I think, although there will be a lot of support, and you imagine his price will be trimmed a fair bit in the R before the off, I still think something like 11-2, 6-1 is more likely than 7-2 or 4-1.
Okay, fair enough. And injury news then regarding the Grand National. Hayden's Approach has suffered a setback and is now rated unlikely to go down to post for the race, which would leave Nicky Henderson without a horse in it.
Yeah, it's there can't be too many Nationals where Nicky's been unrepresented, but it's not a race that's been terribly kind to him over the years. Nicky's one of those who's held to the notion that 2.5 milers are ideal for the National. He's gone close on a number of occasions with horses who would have shown their best form in the younger days at 2.5, but it's not easy to find a winner through that method these days. And Hadrian's Approach, for me, would have been an unlikely winner of the race. He's not a good enough jumper for a race like the National anyway.
Okay, fair enough. And just before we move on then, do you have a fancy in the National?
The Druid's Nephew is the one that I'd be keenest on at this stage, although it's a really tough race. As I said, you know, you go back 20-odd years, there weren't that many horses you could have on your short list for the race, and these days it's such a competitive handicap that it's difficult to rule too many out.
Yeah, certainly is. We'll just run through the prices then. Shut the Front Door is still an 8th chance, the favourite. 10-1, Rocky Creek, Balthazar King, 12-1, 14-1, The Druid's Nephew, And it's 20s about Alvarado, Cause of Causes, Gosmey, Judge, Soul, Spring Heels, 25s bar those. And we look forward to that at Aintree next week. We'll move on then to take a quick look at some of Wednesday's action. We've picked out four of the races on Wednesday to preview, two on the flat and two on the jumps. And we'll start at Chelmsford City with their 4 o'clock race. This one is a mile and five furlong handicap. It's a class two event with seven of them going down to go to post. And a lot of these look in decent form, Rory.
Yeah, and most of them improving as well. The vast majority of the runners in the race are improving four-year-old handicappers who haven't had that many chances. You've also got a decent dual-purpose performer in Fergal there, who won a maiden at Lingfield last time out, but he looks to be up against it. But there's improvement to come from virtually everything else in the race, particularly Wakia, who I think will start a reasonably short-priced favourite. He's only had the four lifetime starts. Runner-up on his handicap debut at Doncaster in August, and then improved after a layoff to win easily at Wolverhampton last time out. He will go forward again, you'd imagine. He's the one with the most upside, it seems. And he's probably the one to beat. The difficult thing with him is working out what price he's going to go off at and whether, being a representative of the Jeremina Cedar yard, he's going to be a little bit skinny. That tends to be the way with this yard. So my initial reaction is to look for one at a slightly bigger price. And while I can certainly see more improvement coming from the likes of Purple Spectrum and Right to Rain, those are coming back from a bit of a layoff. And one who's been in more recent action is Urban Castle. And she's improved markedly this season. She's from a very, very good middle distance family, all of whom have improved with age as well. And she was a winner at Wolverhampton in January. She improved again to finish third last time out, again at Wolverhampton. That was behind John Reel. John Reel's run two or three times since. And while he hasn't won, he's been keeping better company and showing better form since. So I thought that was a very good performance. The handicapper has only put Urban Castle up a pound for that. I think she's still ahead of her mark. And she'll be an each-way price here, although it's not quite the ideal field size. I think she'll be in the first two. There is a possibility Wakia is that step ahead of the handicapper, but I do think Urban Castle will be a better price. You might get 6-1, 13-2 about her, and that would be very tempting for me.
Okay, then Urban Castle getting the nod each way then for Rory in that race at Chelmsford. A couple of jumps races from Wincanton. We'll start with the 220. This one is a 2 mile, 6 furlong handicap hurdle. It's a class three event with nine of them looking set to contest this. Who do you like the look of here?
It's absolutely impossible to get away from Jimmy the Jet Plane. Dual winner at the track, including over course and distance. He improved to win a conditional jockeys race over 2.5 miles here 10 days ago. He runs off the same mark here, even though the handicappers put him up £9 for the future. And he's up against a bunch of out-of-form rivals or horses who are switching back from fences. So Jimmy the Jet Plane, he looks an odds-on shot to me. If you're getting anything bigger than even money, you've got to take that. Looking for a danger in the race, there are two who appeal, not to beat him. I think Dancing Shadow will improve for a step up to 2.75 miles. That's Victor Dartnell's runner with Dennis O'Regan riding. Was third at Sandown last time out, doing his best work late in the day. He's by a stayer in Craig Steele and plenty of stamina on the dam side of the pedigree as well. So he will probably improve for the step up and trip. He doesn't look the speediest though, and I don't think he can really... I don't think he can challenge Jimmy the Jet Plane, but he's the type who will give you a bit of value in forecast bets. So I think he's the most likely horse to finish second. If there is one who can spring a bit of a surprise, it's Buck Magic. Tony McCoy rides for Neil Mulholland. He's liable to be second favourite as a result. Switching back from fences to hurdles, he was quite well backed at Kempton off a break last time out, but fell early, fell at the fourth fence there. The fact that he was well supported is a positive sign and suggests that he's back in form. He was only sixth over this course and distance on Boxing Day, and that was a slightly disappointing performance. But the vibes are that he's back to form, and Neil Mulholland, who trains him, has his horses in very good order at the moment. So he's the one who could spring a bit of a surprise. But I think that that Dancing Shadow was slightly more solid in terms of forecast betting.
Okay, then Jimmy the Jet Plane getting the firm selection for Rory there, but a couple to look at as well are Dancing Shadow and Buck Magic. We'll go on then to the 250 at Wincanton. This one is a handicap chase, ran over 2.5 miles. Five of them line up for this class three. And we've got a horse here who carries top weight, Vesperal Dream, chasing a hat-trick.
Yeah, liable to be a warm favourite here, Vesperal Dream. And as you said, on a hat-trick, has improved for the fitting of a tongue tie on his last two starts, winning a maiden here two starts ago. That was in October. And following up a few days later in a handicap chase at Taunton. That was a pretty weak affair on very fast ground. And he jumped to his left throughout that day, which is a bit of a worry for me. He's also coming back off a layoff. And it's interesting to see they're still wearing the tongue tie. I would have thought, given he's been off the track for 5 months, that he would have had a breathing operation in the meantime. Whether the ground's fast enough for him is a slight question. The going for both of those wins was very fast. Good to firm here at Wincanton and then firm at Taunton. And although it's expected to be good ground at Wincanton, there is a little bit of rain around, and that might count against him. For me, he's got it to do to beat One for the Boss, who strikes me as being a very, very solid bet here. He was a dual winner at Leicester in November. He's been beaten all three starts since. They've all come on heavy ground, though. And his second at Yatoxeter the other day looks as good as anything he's done in the past. Didn't quite stay the 2.5 mile trip on very heavy ground at Yatoxeter. Travelled very strongly, but didn't quite get home. He does stay 2.5. And the fact that the ground will be a little bit faster at Wincanton, liable to be good ground, good to soft at worst, that will help him get home on what's a sharp track anyway, less of a test than Yatoxeter. And he strikes me as having much the most solid form in the book. So One for the Boss looks the one to beat for me. Probably won't be favourite, but should be in my book. Miss Tenacious has chances if she jumps, but the problem is she never jumps. Her rounds are always littered by mistakes. And Wincanton's fences take a fair bit of jumping.
Okay, One for the Boss then. Getting the nod for Rory in that 250 at Wincanton. We'll move to the final race on Wednesday's podcast then. This one comes up at 6:45 from Kempton Park. It's a mile handicap. A class 4 event with 14 of them down to go to post. And who appeals here, Rory?
It's an interesting little contest here. The chances are that you'll get a decent pace with the well-drawn City of Angkor Wat liking to make the running. He's improved for a move to Conor Doerr. He's a dual winner at the track, won over a mile early this month and then followed up over 7 furlongs. The return to a mile won't be a problem. The handicapper's probably beginning to catch him up. He's now off a mark of 82, £6 higher than for his last time out win. And he won't get an easy lead here. I think he will get to the front, but there are several who've got the ability to chase him down. The likes of Vivat Rex, who's on a hat-trick. Silver Heels, who ran very well in a minor race in France last time and tends to go well here. They will be hurrying him for the lead. And that might just set it up for a finisher. And the one who appeals is Franco's Secret. It's course and distance winner. He's better suited by the way races develop at Kempton than he is elsewhere. He was well beaten at Chelmsford last time out, but had absolutely no chance the way that race panned out. Was slowly away, held up in last, and never really in with a chance the way the race was run. Similarly, at Lingfield last time out, he was only fifth of eight. But a bigger field and a stronger pace here at Kempton, where the long straight will play to his strengths, can see him bounce back to form, and he looks a bit of value there.
Okay, excellent stuff. There we are then. Thoughts of Rory De Laghi ahead of Wednesday's action. If you just recap your selections then and your reasons why for the four races on Wednesday that we've picked up.
Sure. In the 4 o'clock at Chelmsford, Urban Castle might be value against Wakia. Wakia, probably the horse to beat on paper, but might just be too short in the betting, given that Jeremy Nasida's runners are overbet. And Urban Castle is still progressing, and the form of her race at Wolverhampton last time out is working out well. In the 220 at Wincanton, Jimmy the Jet Plane gets in off the same mark as he won off last time in a conditional jockey's race. He's impossible to oppose with course and distance in his favour. And if you're looking to make a bit of money in the race, Dancing Shadow should be the one to chase him home. And there's a bit of value in that forecast. In the 250 at Wincanton, Vesperal Dream will probably start favourite for Paul Nicholls, but has a little bit to find with One for the Boss. One for the Boss has run well over this trip at Yatoxeter last time out on heavy ground, will appreciate the slightly faster surface and could spring a minor surprise there. And in the 6:45 at Kempton, with a strong pace expected set up by City of Angkor Wat, I think Franco's Secret is the hold-up horse in the race, should have things run to suit and can provide a bit of each-way value.
Okay, fantastic. There we are then, the summary of Rory's picks for Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live from 1:50 p.m. on William Hill Racing Radio with Mick Norton, Ollie Pimlott and Chris Pimlott in the studio on Wednesday afternoon to guide you through all of the action. Thank you very much for joining me on today's podcast, Rory, and good luck with those bets.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.